Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on WTMR 800 AM, where the master reigns on In His Sign Catholic Radio. And this is Signed, Healed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father. Happy New Year to everybody. And we're still in the Christmas season. We're approaching the weekend where it's going to be the baptism of our Lord, and then we'll be starting ordinary time. And so, you know, we had, you know, the 12 days of Christmas, and, you know, then we go through this week, which is still Christmas time. And, you know, back in the day, it's up to February 2nd through the presentation of our Lord was the 40 days of Christmas. And so that, you know, February 2nd is also known as the Purification of Mary and also Candlemas, and also those, any that are Flame of Love devotees, also the Feast Day of the Flame of Love. But going back to here, we're going to be talking about the baptism of our Lord, and we'll talk about the Jubilee a little bit. We'll talk about baptism also, just our own children, and some news about a celebrity getting baptized. And before we get into all of that, let's give our Lord and Savior our praise through the prayer that he gave us so we can pray to our Lord, our God and Father. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As part of this program, with the name of it called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, that delivered part, when we just prayed the Our Father, I had emphasized the need to also have the intention, if you want to be able to be delivered from evil, which is really, can be translated, it says in the catechism, also in the footnotes in the Bible, of the evil one. In other words, we as individuals have the power to do self-deliverance. And in other words, anytime there's any problems in your life, any kinds of evils or wrongs or vexations or anything that's causing issues, we can, when we're equipped with the Our Father, we can pray this with the intention of delivering us from the evil one. And so it's okay to use the word the evil one versus just saying deliver us from evil. Again, that's in the catechism and also in some of the footnotes of the Catholic Bibles. Also, we'll be getting into how, you know, as far as the Our Father prayer, it's very important how, you know, this baptism shows the epiphany or the manifestations. I know epiphany was just this past Sunday, right? Usually it's on January 6th, but it was moved to this Sunday because that is the Lord's Day. And, you know, as we know, and you might have heard on other programs here on WTMR 800 AM, and also on In His Sign on the website, you know, our good engineer has uploaded the various podcasts that are archived there. So you can, you know, go to the inhissign.com website and look under content, under podcast, and you'll see that, you know, Ken Johnson talked about the Jubilee there with Susan Sassone, and he also talked about the Epiphany back last week. I just want to give my spin on it, too. I didn't actually get the privilege of listening to his shows. I just wanted to add my part to it because, you know, when we're in this new year, we're in this year of hope. And it's an ordinary Jubilee, meaning it happens every 25 years, right? So, you know, here we have it 2025. But then if you ask yourself, well, then how come the Jubilee that occurred on the year 2000 wasn't called an ordinary Jubilee, whereas the one in 1950 and then 1975, they were ordinary Jubilees. But the one in 2000, well, it was called the Great Jubilee, as you recall or remember, because it celebrated the 2,000 years. So it's like every 1,000 years. So this is the second time it ever happened. So that's why it was a Great Jubilee. Whereas some of you also may remember, we were privileged enough to have Pope Francis come here to our city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. What was that, in 2015? That was declared an extraordinary jubilee. And why was it extraordinary, depending on how you want to pronounce it? Well, it was actually the 50th year anniversary of the end of Vatican II. So Vatican II ended in 1965. I thought it was in October. I don't remember the exact date. But anyway, Pope Francis had declared that the extraordinary jubilee, and that's why it was started in 2015. And so it didn't fall into the normal 25-year ordinary time, ordinary jubilee, like we had, like for 1950, 1975, 2025. And that brings to mind, I think there was another jubilee in 1983. And how was that? Well, that celebrated the 1,950-year anniversary of Jesus's, you know, passion, death, and resurrection, right? So if he died in the year 33, then if you add the 1950 years to that, that's 1983. So there was another jubilee at that time. So jubilees are a great thing. We're fortunate enough here to, you know, have our own son, and that was born our middle son. We have four sons. One passed away, but the three that we have now, our middle one, was born on the Great Jubilee. So we call him our Great Jubilee baby. So we're blessed to have him from year 2000, our Andrew. And so I also just wanted to point out, you know, the idea of, or not the idea of baptism, how important it is, you know, to have our children baptized. And we'll get into the readings and the gospel, because we'll talk about St. John the Baptist, but there's just so much in these readings today, and you'll see how it fulfills the different prophecies from Isaiah, talking about who the suffering servant is, and how there's a new creation, and what we're thinking back in Genesis of how God created the world, and how it was a new creation, and the Spirit was going over the waters. And so there's a lot of these things that may not come out at first blush or first readings of the scriptures when we go to Mass this coming weekend. And so I'm thankful for all of you who are loyal listeners, or any of the new listeners, in fact, that are tuning in, because our good priests and our good deacons who do their best on the weekends, they don't have enough time, you know, to give a homily. So whether it's 6 minutes or 8 minutes, or if you know, if you're lucky enough to have it a little longer, if it's a very good homily, you know, they would love to go longer if they could, because I know a lot of them are very passionate, especially here in our parish in St. Agnes in Westchester. So I'm broadcasting out here in Westchester, which brings to mind, actually, this weekend, I'll be giving a talk to the men's retreat here for St. Agnes. It was run by the men, the St. Agnes men, who belong to Exodus 90. And the talk will be on masculinity. And that may just seem really generic as far as the title, but we'll actually get into the meaning of what it means to be a son of God, you know, and what does it mean to be the son of man? Or for just simply, what does it mean to be a man or a male, masculine, and all these different talks about, you know, toxic masculinity, and, you know, what does the world think how men should behave, or who are our role models, and, you know, what the world has, and what do we have, and what does the church view as role models? And, of course, our role model as Catholic Christians is, you know, Jesus Christ, right? God himself. And so we'll be talking about, Jesus Christ as our role model, as, you know, the man, the Son of Man, the exemplar, the God himself. And of course, we'll look at things like other role models like a St. Joseph and St. Paul and other various saints. But right now, it looks like we're having a full house there at 50 that's coming to this morning retreat. And it starts off with a holy hour at 6:45. And then there's Mass, there's confession before Mass, and then there's Mass at 8. There's a continental breakfast at 9. At 9:30, I'm going to give the keynote, and it's going to be an hour long. It'll go quicker than you'll think. I have a lot of slides, and some of you realize when I give my talk, I have a lot of slides to show. And then afterwards, at 10:30, there's going to be a breakout discussion talking about the various parts of the presentation. And then there'll be a rosary at 11 and some confession, and then a final blessing. So right now there's a total of 50 spots that are all filled, but it seems like I'm hoping they're going to open up for some more, because we're going to meet in the cafeteria right next to the St. Agnes Church. And hopefully there'll be just more room that people can just drop by and come in. And but as far as the sign up part, officially there was 50 slots. It's a free talk, so you can't there shouldn't be any inhibition about to come, except that it's Saturday morning. So I don't know about any of you all there, but it's who like to get up early and go to Mass. But this is a good opportunity to start this brand new year, a year of hope, right? That it's an extraordinary, it's an ordinary jubilee, and there's hope to start anew and to have Jesus Christ really reign as our Lord and Savior. And he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's why we sign ourselves in the beginning of this program with the cross of Christ, with the sign of the cross. Last time I'm also talked about, the three kings in the Epiphany, but I also wanted to just reemphasize the blessing of one's own home. Since we're going to talk about the baptism, like, has any of you tried doing the house blessing? Usually it's on Epiphany. Again, it would be January 6th, but this time it'd be, January 5th, where you take Epiphany water. Or you take some holy water and you want to bless the doorway and then go in each of the room and bless the room, bless each room of the house. And, my family and I has done this. We did the shorter version this time, but where, I just blessed the front of the house, and I would write the letters, the C, M, and B. And before and after each of those letters, I'd put the crucifix and then write the year. I'd put the 20 on the very left side of the inscriptions, and then 25 on the very right side. It's kind of like bookends that's keeping the CMB. And people may wonder, what does the CMB stand for? Well, remember, if you heard the last podcast that I had, the C, M, and B, they have two meanings. That the C stands for Christus, and that means Christ. And then the M stands for, it sounds like mansion. So in Latin, it would be mansionem. And then the B is the blessing, which in Latin is benedictat. And so it means Christ bless this home, not mansion. I mean, I don't know how many people do you have mansions, but it means the CMB in Latin means Christ bless this home. And so, I took the holy water and then blessed the doorway and blessed my children, blessed my wife. You can do this as the head of the household. So, I want to tell the men who are able to make it, but also any of you listeners right now, that you could, it's great to have a priest do this or a deacon, but the head of the household is actually considered the bishop and priest of the home. And so some people may wonder, how's that? Well, I do have a quote from St. Augustine, and he was a bishop of Hippo. And he was actually addressing a group of fathers of a family, and he was greeting them. And What he did was call them my fellow bishops, and he said that in Latin, and he said co episcopoi mei, meaning my fellow bishops. And then he went on to say to them, he said, each and every one of you have in the home the bishop's office to see to it that neither his wife, nor his son, nor his daughter, nor even his servant fall away from the truth, for they are bought with a great price. Rightly, then, this aspect of patriarchy is symbolized by the crozier. And so this is where it is right that we as men of the house, or the husband, the father, is actually the head of the household, and the priest and the bishop of the home. And so, I just encourage all you men out there, or you, or whoever's listening, you wives, you can tell your husband, you know, that he can do the blessing of the home. If you can't get the priest or the bishop, you can look up the prayers on the internet to find out the actual prayers for doing the blessing for your home. So
recording stopped.
And so what I wanted to go now is to read some of the readings from the first reading from the baptism of our Lord, and then I'll go into some of the commentary. So this is from Isaiah chapter 42. It says, thus says the Lord, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased, upon whom I put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoldering wick he shall not quench, until he establishes justice on the earth. The coastlands will wait for his teaching. I, the Lord, have called you for the victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. I have formed you. I formed you and set you as a covenant of the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners from confinement, and from the dungeon those who live in darkness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And so here from this baptism of the Lord, what I wanted to point out is that, you know, this came from Isaiah. And the very beginning part where it says, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, with whom I am well pleased. This is also what we will be reading as in the gospel in Luke, where, you know, John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. And we hear the voice, you know, of God the Father calling out that this is my beloved Son, who am I well pleased. And so here is the Old Testament prophecy also of this restoration, this suffering servant, which we know as Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And it says that upon whom I will put my spirit. And so it also prophesies that the Holy Spirit will be put upon his chosen one, meaning the Messiah. And so this is a very important scripture verse, Isaiah 42, that we should, when we go to Mass and we read this, that it's going to connect up with the reading of the gospel. It shows this Old Testament scripture actually is prophesying what is to be fulfilled in Luke, what we're going to read in chapter 3 in a little bit. And so it goes on here that as far as his servant, this servant is enigmatic. It doesn't say the name Jesus, but when you look at the description, you can see that who is this person that's the suffering servant, the one who is chosen, who is going to be declared as the one he is well pleased and that his the Spirit will be put on him. Well, that's Jesus. It gets pretty clear. And so I'll continue reading this Isaiah 42, and it says, he shall bring forth justice to the nations, not crying out, not shouting, not making a voice heard in the street. Now, this is very key, because what do we know about John the Baptist, as we'll later read here in Luke, and I'm kind of jumping the gun already, but I'm just showing you here when it says that the person who is not crying out, not shouting, and not making his voice heard in the street, well, it's saying it's not John the Baptist. And so this will be the scripture verse that John the Baptist will be referring to. I mean, he actually doesn't say, oh, look, you know, check it out in Isaiah 42. You know, that's the one that was prophesying about me, that, you know, and also prophesying about Jesus. So how to tell the two apart. Now, it's not like that. But anyway, the point here is when you read Isaiah 42 and you go to Mass and, you know, you're being equipped here as far as preparing your heart and soul to receive the word of God. Remember, faith is the way to get faith initially, and to increase your faith is by listening. And so, I thank you for listening. But also, when you go to Mass, make sure you listen and you pay attention to the words of Scripture, because, you know, what I love doing, I don't know if some of you do this here, if you hold the missalette in your hand and listen to the lector read the readings and the priest or the deacon read the gospel, you get like a double dose of input. You read, you know, the black and white on the piece of paper, and it goes through your eyes into your brain. But at the same time, when you hear the reader, the lector, the priest, the deacon read the scripture, you know, from the lectionary, it goes through your ears, and so you get this double dose to really ingrain it into your mind, and then it goes down into your heart, and then it can affect your will, both your intellect and your will. And remember, your intellect and your will, those are the God-given powers. Those are the powers of your soul. So these only came from God. And remember, animals don't have these powers. They don't have an intellect or free will. You know, they have instinct, and people confuse that as, you know, their will. No, they have instinct to do things, and whether they like it or not. You know, like if an animal is cornered, they're going to fight for their life. That's their instinct. Even though, you know, it might be the owner and they just might be scared for some reason, they're going to be, you know, growling or spotting you or what have you, whatever, depending what kind of pet you have. But also, you know, as far as intellect, we humans have an intellect, meaning it's a spiritual mind, whereas animals, they learn by experience, but they don't have reasoning skills. See, experience doesn't necessarily mean reasoning skills. They kind of go by pain and pleasure is one way of experiencing, right? If they do something, they'll get rewarded, and that's pleasure. Maybe they'll get some food, right, or some drink, or versus, you know, the pain part that they'll be hungry if they don't get the food, or if they try to go eat a plant or eat a predator, or try to eat a predator, they're going to get in trouble because or hurt from a predator, whereas that's somebody that could eat them. So they'll learn from experience, but that's not a reasoning skill. It's different. Experience and reasoning is different. Meaning, like this, I know I'm kind of getting a little theological and philosophical, but it's very important for us to know, because if we confuse ourselves as just being regular animals, then we're no different than a dog, a cat, a horse. We are animals in a certain sense, but we have reason. So we are rational animals. We have a body and a soul that's a special soul. It's a spirit that lives forever. And so whereas animals, you know, and anything that's alive, you know, including plants and birds and fishes, they have souls. But their souls don't live forever. But, you know, God does declare that he's going to have a new heavens and a new earth, and he can do whatever he wants. So he can have more plants and animals and our pets and at that time, too, if he wants. But let's go back to this reading here. At the last part of Isaiah, it says here that he's going to open the eyes of the blind, right, and bring out prisoners from confinement. And that's key here because those are hints about a jubilee that, whether it's every 7 years for the Jews and on the 50th, you know, this great jubilee that they released. I don't know if I'm using the right word, great jubilee, but there's this jubilee that they are released from their debt and the prisoners are set free. And so the wording here actually coincides with what we're having right now, a jubilee. I mean, we could have read this reading, 3 years from now or 3 years before, and it wouldn't coincide with a jubilee. So if we see how fortunate we are that we are reading a scripture verse that's hinting at a jubilee, and then it's being fulfilled by Jesus, and that here we are in 2025, that, most likely we're probably going to have that special jubilee, an extraordinary one, in 2033, because that would that would signify or designate the 2033 years of Jesus's passion, death, and resurrection, right? And so that would be it's super extraordinary. I don't know what the Pope will declare, whoever he may be at that point. I don't know who that will be, if it's the same Pope or not. But my point is, in 2033, I would expect another special one, just like how it was. I thought, I don't know if they had in 1933, if they had one then. I thought there was. I knew there was Pope. They didn't celebrate anything. I know they did in the 1900s, but I don't know. I don't recall if they had it in 1925. But if I find that answer at the break, they did. In 1925, there was a holy year proclaimed at that. But I'm trying to get to if there was one in 1933, and it looks like there was during 1933 that Pope Ratzi opened up the doors of St. Peter's Basilica, and they did have a holy year in 1933, that time for that jubilee. It was an extraordinary one. Anyway, so we're at the bottom of the hour right now, and we'll come back after this, and then we'll talk about the other readings and get into the gospel. And so if you can stay with us, and we'll be right back after the break.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together, in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800 AM, Where the Master Reigns. And the program's called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we are signed with the cross of Christ, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father, where I try to deliver also some insightful commentary from a Catholic perspective, of course. And I bring in, you know, science and faith, just like I have, and talk a little bit about spiritual health as well. And so hopefully you'll get some good tips as I'm giving some commentary and some just some personal insights. So let's go now to the second reading for January 12th here. Oh, and I just got news here as far as the men's retreat at St. Agnes. It was capped at 50, but now they just opened it up to 60. I just had requested. So any listeners out there, if you can get your men or if any men are listening there to, come to the men's retreat at St. Agnes here in Westchester. I'll be talking about masculinity, but also I'll give you some tools and tips about living the life as a man of God, as an adopted son of God, as a husband and father, to start this new year off and then off well, this great this jubilee of hope. And also you'll meet some great men of Exodus 90 and other men from St. Agnes and the surrounding areas here. So just go to the stagnesparish.org website. stagnesparish.org website, and then you'll be able to see the sign up there. You just go to the events page, and then you'll click there, and you can go on to the sign up genius, and there's 10 more slots available to that people can come in. Again, it's free. My talk starts at 9:30, but if you come early, remember, you can go to Mass at 8. And then, you know, there's a confession before Mass. There's, benediction. Then there's, of course, continental breakfast. And then the talk at 9:30. Okay? All right. And I thank Rob Gallagher for being able to open up more space there for us at the conference this Saturday. And again, it'll be done by noon. So all of anybody who's interested in watching the wild card playoffs or for football, they won't be late for that. They'll start off right, putting God first in their life. All right. So let's go now to this reading from Acts. And this is, again, for the feast of the baptism of our Lord from Acts chapter 10. It says, Peter proceeded to speak to those gathered in the house of Cornelius, saying, in truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation who fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him. You know the word that he sent to the Israelites as he proclaimed peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. What has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The word of the Lord. So here it is again, the title of the show again, Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. It goes right up our alley here because you see in this reading, it shows that at the end, what did Jesus do? He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And so when Jesus gave us the Our Father prayer, he gave us the ability, the tool, the greatest tool as far as a prayer, the greatest prayer, the Our Father prayer, so we can deliver ourselves from the evil one. So it says evil, but you can say the evil one, because evil is not a concept. It's a person, right? It's the devil and all his minions. So we want, again, to be able to be to help those who can help themselves, and we can if there's any kind of problems there. Now, I'm not talking about if only for people who are oppressed, obsessed or possessed. What I'm talking about is people just get vexed, or people have these normal temptations that can really ruin their lives. And, you know, at this conference, I'll be talking about, you know, the four tactics of the devil, of what he does time in and time out all the time. He does it because it works. So even though, you know, his game plan is pretty much the same, and I'll get into the details of that. So if you have any of your husband or any men come to this conference, I'll be able to explain some of these tactics that the devil does and the strategies that, you know, his minions do against us, and how we could beat that, because God gives us the Our Father. And it says right here, he was healing all those oppressed by the devil. So, yes, you can, if you feel oppressed in one way or another, like you're stuck, you can't, you get this pressure, you get high blood pressure, you can't sleep, you can't think, your stomach hurts, you have a nightmares, you're having night terrors, you're feeling anxious, depressed. If you feel so stressed that you're paralyzed, you can't move, you can't do things, well, this is what the Lord has done through his Holy Eucharist, through the Mass, through confession, through baptism, all these different graces, through the sacrament of marriage, confirmation, anointing of the sick, the sacrament of holy orders. These are ways of getting sacramental graces, which is so much more powerful than exorcisms itself. Sacraments are more powerful than sacramentals, and exorcisms are sacramentals, okay? Sacramentals are gifts from the bride, the church, whereas sacraments are a gift from our Lord, the groom. He gives these sacraments, the seven sacraments. Sacramentals, as some of you know, are like the holy water, the holy candle, are you're wearing the rosary or a cross around your neck. The Bible is a sacramental, and different medals, the miraculous medal, Saint Benedict's medal, the scapula. These are sacramentals, but there's different types of graces from those compared to the sacraments. The sacraments is, you know, that's where it'll always work, because it comes from God, right? Of course, it has to have the form, the matter, and the intention with the Eucharist. But with the sacramentals, you know, it depends on us, whereas the sacraments depends on God. The sacramentals depend on us. In other words, if we don't have the faith in it, well, it's not really going to work. Right, but the sacrament, like confession, you may not think you're forgiven when you go in confession. You say, "How can the Lord forgive me? I've done so much sin that it's worse than anybody." You may think, and that even if I go to confession, he won't forgive me. Well, see, no matter what you think, if you go to the priest through the sacrament of confession, God will forgive your sins if you really show. You know, tell your sins properly. You're not trying to hide anything. You're really sorry, and then you make amends. And so that's the thing. And so it really is not dependent on whether you believe you're forgiven per se. It's like it's because the Lord himself is forgiven you. Anyway, so here it is that it shows that, you know, that in Acts, when St. Luke wrote this, he said that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, and it was with the Holy Spirit and with power. It backs up what we just read in Isaiah 42, right? That here is my servant with whom I am uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. Now, going back to Acts, it says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And then he went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And, you know, here's something that's also important. Notice how it said healing all those who oppressed. So there is a healing part of the spiritual, of our spiritual soul. And so it comes through, you know, the Lord, through our priests. And so our souls can be healed, like, you know, when we're out of grace, when we commit mortal sin, our souls need to be put back in friendship. And this is why we need the sacrament of confession. This goes hand in hand with this week of the baptism of our Lord, where hopefully we'll make a renewal of our baptism. But what would be really good, actually, I would encourage you listeners to actually go to confession this Saturday. So when you renew your baptismal promises for this weekend, that you'll be brand new like a baby, or like brand new, like if you're an RCIA and you entered in, you had to, you know, get baptized and confirmed and, you know, first confession, first communion. You know, it's like brand new again. And so what more time to do it when it's the beginning of the year, right? So you can bless your home, even though, you know, Epiphany just passed. You can bless it any time of the year, but this is like the best of the best time. You know, bless your home by, you know, putting that special formula, the C, M, and B. You know what? I just remember I didn't say what the other meaning was. I told you the Latin meaning. The C, M, and B stood for, you know, Christ blessed this home. But the other three letters were the first initials of the three wise men, the three magi, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. And so that's what it means, because it was up on Epiphany when they presented their gifts to the Lord, you know, the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh. All right. And so, you know, it would be good to do that baptism here. And so let's go now to the gospel. This is from Luke chapter 3, verse 15 and following. It says, "The people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, 'I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I'm not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.' After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased.'" The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So here it is. You know, the people were filled with expectation. And why were they filled with expectation? Well, because for about 400 years, they didn't have a prophet, since the last book of the Old Testament is Malachi. And he was prophesying there was going to be, you know, virgin birth. And so when was this? And they didn't have a prophet after that. And so there was this, you know, expectation that was building up to the point where, you know, they wonder, is this him? Because they saw this guy, this John, crying out in the wilderness, in the desert, you know, prepare the way of the Lord. But if you recall what I wrote, not what I read, excuse me, in Isaiah, how it said that, you know, the Messiah is not going to be the one crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. So that's a reference to John the Baptist, because for sure we know that he was the one crying out and shouting out and making his voice heard out there in the desert. I mean, it's not the street, but he was definitely making it out there, because he said, you know, to make way for the Lord, you know, like a highway to flatten out the mountains and roadways and hills and valleys, I should say. And so he was essentially making that path for the Lord. So in one sense, you know, he was the forerunner, you know, the pathfinder. He was the introduction incarnate, the prologue in a person. So these are different titles. He was the forward in the flesh. He's the cousin of Jesus, right? 6 months older, he was the one preparing the way. And so when they asked him, they had this expectation, well, are you the one? Well, they might not have put two and two together from Isaiah 42 that the prophecy was that the servant that, you know, who was, I'm paraphrasing, the servant who he's, that God's going to uphold is the chosen one who is well pleased, that he put his spirit on. And we just read that right now from Luke, right? That that heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son, with you I am well pleased. I love that part. That brings memories back to me of my mom, because she, whenever I would do something really good, and she, it just made her very proud of me. I just remember her saying that, like, publicly to my dad and my family and my siblings. You know, I guess it made them jealous, but, you know, that I was their son, that made her really pleased. She would mostly do it in private, but still, it was something that I just made me want to do more, make me want to make my parents proud, because whatever made them proud was anything that was for the Lord God. And so I just put that together. If I just keep on doing the work of the Lord, it'd make God happy. It'd make the Lord happy. It'd make my parents happy. And they would say things like this to me. And so that just brings great memories when I hear those words. So going here again here, where John baptized Jesus, and he baptized him with water. And this is something that we should be realized that, you know, we can also baptize, especially in emergencies, right? I mean, of course you want to have your children baptized. I had, you know, my firstborn son, Anthony, you know, I had him baptized. I had promised as a youth, you know, as a 13-year-old, when I had a conversion experience, that, you know, I read the Bible in a year at 13, and I gave my life to the Lord. And I remember reading Exodus 13, where it said, consecrate to me every firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the Israelites. I know he says the Israelites, whether of human being or beast, belongs to me. So my point was that here in Exodus 13, I remember it says, consecrate to me every firstborn, whoever opens the womb, you know, first. And so I did that for my firstborn son, Anthony. Also, it said in Exodus 22, it talks about this, verses 29 and 30. It says, the firstborn of your sons you shall give to me, and on the eighth day you shall give it to me to have him, you know, circumcised. And then also this, just I'll bring up another verse here from Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. And this is where Hannah dedicates Samuel to the Lord, you know, to the care of Eli. And so when I was reading scripture as a 13-year-old, I said to myself, you know, if I'm lucky enough to get married, because at that age I thought I would never get married. I said, who would love a person like me? It was really, I had low self-esteem. For sure, at that age, it said, if I ever get married, if I'm lucky to have it in children, and lucky enough to have a son, that I'm going to do this as my firstborn. And so I did. So when I took Anthony home, you know, in his nakedness, I took him out in the backyard and I raised him up above my head. You know, it was a clear moonlit sky, and I consecrated him. I said something to the sort where I said, you know, Lord God, I give you my firstborn son, who the first fruits of my marriage, and the one who opened up the womb of my wife. And I dedicated him. I'm backtracking too. Also, early on in the pregnancy, I had dedicated him while in the womb. But when he was actually born now, he was born on All Saints Day. So when we took him home, I offered him up. I said those three things, you know, to the Lord. And 26 years later, he was ordained a Catholic priest, and now he's in his fifth year, you know, as a priest. He's a parochial administrator, you know, which leads, which is like their internship as a pastor, officially, you know, next year. And that's what happened. I mean, I just tried to follow the readings of the scripture there when I was 13. So if you have anyone out there who is a teenager, maybe you look up those verses from Exodus 13 and then Exodus 22, because it happened when I was 13 years old. That's how I remember it. Exodus 13. It was a new life. I was freeing myself from, not freeing myself, but being freed of myself from how I used to be. And if you ever want to hear my testimony, please reach out. You can leave a message there at In His Time Catholic Radio. Call up and leave a message and see if you can get in contact with me, or ask me to see if I can talk to your give a talk of my testimony at your parish, or, you know, at your Bible study or men's group or women's group. I recently gave a conference for the women's group called GIFT, Growing in Faith Together, out in Hockessin, Delaware, at St. Mary of the Assumption. We had full house there of 120 women. I talked on the Eucharist. So if you're interested in me coming by to your parish talking about the Eucharist and or the secret of the rosary or spiritual warfare or angels and demons or Carmelite saints, you name it, I'm flexible. I can tailor make a talk for you. Just let me know. So let's go back to this here. As far as the baptism, I just showed you what I did for my own son as a doctor also, but also in any emergency situation, you're also allowed to do a baptism. And believe it or not, even a non-believer can baptize. That may seem shocking. So as long as the person that's being baptized has the intention, and the person baptized, and let's say the atheist, agnostic, you know, that actually knows the correct formula, that you're using water, you're saying the person's name, and that I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and, you know, baptizing, pouring the water those three different times, and that person is asking for it and wants it. You know, the person can give that. And I actually had to do this as a father and also as a doctor. So, you know, when patients were dying, you know, I was able to do this. And also for my own second-born son, you know, who was dying, you know, I got to baptize him because the priest wasn't able to come in time. So that's how I learned practically, you know, that, oh, I'm able to do it. I can do it. I didn't know. I had to be told over the phone that the priest couldn't come over, and so I was told how to do it, and I had to just learn the hard way for my own dying son. So, you know, this weekend is really special, and it's the baptism of the Lord, but recall your own baptism. You should also thank God for parents who had you baptized, or thank God for your sponsors, your godparents, or who, if you were baptized, you know, as an adult. I was lucky enough to help bring somebody two people into the faith as adults. I'll keep their name private, you know, but again, they were, as grown men, they chose me to be their sponsor. It's a great blessing, this baptism, again, that we are now have this indelible mark on our soul that we are now, you know, spiritually children of God. People who are not baptized, they're natural children of God, but they're not spiritual children of God. I mean, God, of course, creates everything, right? He creates all us human beings, and we are his children. But to be his adopted children, we should be baptized. Again, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, this is what the church teaches. And through our Lord Jesus Christ, this is what he said to do, you know, when he gave us the Great Commission in Matthew 25. So it's a very important, you know, weekend, which ends the Christmas season and then start of the ordinary time that we should have the baptism. Also, when we have baptism, you know, it's like a dying of self and a renewing of ourself. Like, it's the old self going away and a new self. We're reborn. And so when Jesus was, you know, baptized it was like a new creation. It was hearkening back to like Genesis, when the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters, and there was a new, there was a original creation. And here now, the Spirit of the Lord descended down to Jesus, and when Jesus came up out of the water, the devil descended down and upon him, and it just harkens back into Genesis again, in the beginning of creation. And so God is, you know, coming as to start his kingdom. And this is why, you know, I have another show on Radio Maria that's called Building the Kingdom, and it's one of the reasons why I named it that. Because the first thing that Jesus started to preach was the kingdom of God is at hand. And that was the gospel. He was proclaiming the gospel. And what was the first words of the gospel was the kingdom of God is at hand, meaning that his royal reign is started. This is how it was. Like when the royal kings of the Jews were baptized, were anointed, they're first put in the water, right? They had to be cleaned before they got anointed. And so, they were put in the Gihon stream, and they had to wash before being anointed by the priest and prophet. And which, by the way, you know, in my upcoming talk this Saturday, I'll be talking about the whole idea of priest, prophet, and king, and why we are priest, prophet, and king. And I'll go a little bit even deeper on that, and I'll save that for all those who come there. Again, there's 10 more spots available to go on stagnesparish.org website, stagnesparish.org website. So the last part is that as far as baptism, just remember we should also thank our parents, like I said, for having us baptized. And all of those who are expecting right now or who haven't been baptized, please, you know, have your baby, or, you know, if you're a grown person, or you haven't had your children baptized, or you haven't gotten confirmation, please do so. It officially makes you a child of God, that you are adopted. Just like how we have adoption, like, you know, a person, you can be a big brother or a big sister or somebody, but they're not officially your child unless you officially adopt them. And the way to do that spiritually, so we are spiritually adopted children of God, is to be baptized. Then your soul is cleaned, and you have original sin removed, but it also just makes you, instead of just a natural child of God, a spiritual child of God, that you belong to him, and you are part of his inheritance. You are meant to inherit the kingdom and be with him in heaven forever, and without any pain, suffering, crying, is always eternal happiness. Anyway, I thank you for joining me this evening here on In His Sign Catholic Radio, and God bless you for being with me here on Sign, Sealed, Delivered on In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800 AM. God bless you all.